Reading tonight is from the book of Revelation. It's chapter 22, and we begin at verse 6. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because this time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen."
Well, good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see you all tonight. Do keep that passage open, and we'll pray for God's help. Father, we do need you to send your Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to understand and believe your word, because we know that by nature we cannot do this. So, Lord, we pray that you will work by your Spirit and make us into the people that you want us to be. For Jesus' sake, amen. A certain preacher and an atheistic barber were walking through city slums. The barber said, "This is why I can't believe in your God of love. If he was as kind as you say, he wouldn't permit all this poverty, disease, and immorality. He wouldn't allow these poor street people to get addicted. No, I cannot believe in a God who permits these things." The minister was silent until they met a man who was especially unkempt. His hair was a mess, and he had half an inch of stubble on his face. The preacher said to his friend, "You can't be a good barber, or you wouldn't permit a man like this to continue living here without a haircut and a shave." Indignant, the barber answered, "Why blame me for that man's condition? He has never come into my shop. If he had, I could have fixed him up and made him look like a gentleman." The preacher said, "Then don't blame God for allowing people to continue in their evil ways. He invites them to come and be saved." God invites people to come and be saved. This is perhaps the most glorious truth in the Bible. As verse 17 puts it, "Come." and let him who hears say, Come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Come and receive the free gift, the water of life, forgiveness, a fresh start, relationship with God, a purpose in living. As was said earlier, we're now in the season of Advent, when of course we prepare for Christmas. But the point of Advent is that just as God's people waited for Jesus to be born, so now we're waiting for Christ's second coming, his return to earth, not as a baby, not as a sacrificial victim, not to die, but to reign as king and Lord over all. And we must be ready for his return. If we reject his rule today, he will reject us when he returns. If we submit to his rule, let him be our king today, he will be our king when he returns, and he will take us into his kingdom forever and ever. Jonathan Edwards, called America's greatest theologian, had a set of resolutions. One of them is this: resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. We should always live as if every moment of every day, as if Christ were coming now. That's the only way to live. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Do you need to share your faith with someone? Do it now. Do you need to be reconciled to someone? Do it now. Do you need to serve the Lord and his people? Live as if Christ could return at any moment, because he could. The context of these verses is that God's people are being persecuted, probably under the emperor, the Roman emperor, Domitian, in AD 96. John, the writer of the letter, one of Jesus' disciples, is very elderly, and he's exiled to the island of Patmos. But this wasn't like Desert Island Discs. It wasn't fun. This was persecution. John was cut off from friends and family. No phone, no email, no Skype. Isolation. But in his isolation, Jesus himself appears to John and gives him a revelation, an understanding of the future, which is such a blessing to John, he can barely stand it. And it's a great encouragement to John's persecuted brothers and sisters throughout history. The message of the book is that Jesus is on the throne. He is ruling now, despite the persecution. And he's coming back soon as Lord and Judge, when he will defeat all evil and punish all evildoers, which means anyone whom he has not personally forgiven. Anyone who has not come to him for the forgiveness which Jesus paid for with his own life on the cross. In chapter 21, Satan is defeated. Heaven is described. And now, from verse 6, we get final words. So as we prepare for the return of Jesus, we must keep these final words of Jesus. And this is what they are. believe the Bible, worship God, understand that hell is final, understand who Jesus is, and receive God's salvation. Firstly, then, believe the Bible. A former park ranger at Yellowstone National Park tells the story of a ranger leading a group of hikers to a fire lookout. The ranger was so intent on telling the hikers about the flowers and the animals that he considered the messages on his two-way radio distracting. So he switched it off. Nearing the tower, the ranger was met by a near breathless lookout. Why hadn't he responded to the messages on his radio? A grizzly bear had been seen stalking the group, and the authorities were trying to warn them of the danger. The Bible contains God's warning message to us. Any time we tune out the messages God has sent us, we endanger not only ourselves, but also those around us. How important it is never to turn off God's communication. Verse 6, these words are trustworthy and true. We all need to come to a decision about this. This is Jesus' messenger speaking. And he's telling us to believe the Bible, to receive God's message of communication. Can you believe the Bible? I had to ask this question very seriously when I was studying history at Oxford. I had to do the same thing when I was studying theology at Cambridge. Because there are many voices telling us not to believe the Bible. If you read Cure for Life, it gives you reasons to believe the Bible. The fulfillment of prophecy. The consistency of the message. The archaeological evidence. And so on. These words are trustworthy and true. I believe this. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Ultimately, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. God is making certain promises that Christ will return in glory to judge everybody. Can we believe this? Well, God was right the first time. He promised Jesus would come as a baby to die. Now, he's promising Jesus will come as king and judge. I believe God. Verse 7, behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of this prophecy. I believe Jesus is coming soon. It may be another 2,000 years. That's nothing to God. The Bible says, with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. So it will be soon in that sense. But I believe he's coming, and I want to be blessed, don't you? So I'm personally committing myself to keeping the words in this book by God's grace. What about you? The angel says, verse 10, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Jesus will soon return. So, keep the Bible open. That's what he's saying. Don't seal up the scroll. Don't close the book. People need to read this. Verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. In other words, if you add a word to the Bible, God will send a terrible punishment on you. Verse 19, if anyone takes away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The holy city is heaven, the New Jerusalem. If you take things out of the Bible, God will take heaven away from you. That is why we will not say that male headship, for example, no longer applies. We're afraid to take things out of the Bible. That's why we're afraid to say homosexual acts are no longer sinful. We're afraid to take things out of the Bible. Believe the Bible. Number two, as we prepare for the return of Christ, worship God. Verse 8. Can you picture the scene? John has just met an angel. And he says, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel. This is understandable. When I was being considered for ordination in the Church of England, I had to go and see my bishop, one of the most senior bishops in the Church of England. And he was very nice indeed. But he said a strange thing to me. He said that if John the Baptist came to him for ordination, he would refuse to ordain him. The Church of England couldn't cope with an evangelist like John. And then he said to me, but I hope that if you met John the Baptist, you would fall down at his feet. And I thought, but I didn't say it, we should be willing to ordain an evangelist like John the Baptist, but I wouldn't bow at his feet. Look what the angel says in verse 9. Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers. Worship God. We're all tempted to hero worship. I'm going to tell you an embarrassing secret now. I'm a Cliff Richard fan. I always have been. When I was about 12, I was learning the guitar. And of course, Cliff was a Christian. And I used to buy all his records, videos, tapes, and so on. We're all tempted to hero worship. There's nothing wrong with having role models. But we worship God alone. Are you worshipping anyone in the place of God? Perhaps a person you admire? Are you worshipping an idol in the place of God? Perhaps money or sex or power? Worship God alone. Number three, as we prepare for the return of Christ, understand that hell is final. Verse 11 is a strange verse. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Pardon? Let him who is vile continue to be vile. What? In other words, You can't change once you get to hell. It'll be too late then. Conversely, let him who does right continue. Heaven and hell are fixed. You can't move from one to the other. There's no such place as purgatory. Purgatory is supposed to be a place where you can improve yourself and earn a place in heaven after death. Not so. Verse 12, Jesus is coming soon. And he says, I will give to everyone according to what he has done. This is a terrifying thought for anyone who hasn't been forgiven. I know I'm safe on that day because Jesus has died for me. Hell is described in verse 15. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. If you're unforgiven, you're outside. Hell is final. But fourthly, understand who Jesus is. Look at verse 13. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. The New Testament is written in Greek. We obviously have a translation. Jesus is saying that he is the first and the last, the beginning and the end. In other words, he is eternal. Eternal means never having a beginning, never having an end. Have you read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Next slide. Or seen the film? Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy all go through the wardrobe into Narnia, another world where they become kings and queens. And they grow up there. And they reign for many years. But eventually, it's Aslan the lion's will that they should return to England. And so, whilst out hunting, they come across the wardrobe and go through it back to England, back to our world. The strange thing is that when they fall back through the wardrobe, the clock hasn't moved on 1 second from when they left, even though they've been in Narnia many years. This is because Narnia is outside of our time. Eternity is outside of time. There are no clocks in heaven. Jesus is outside of time. He never began. He will never end. This means he is God, and we must worship him. Verse 16, he commanded the angel to give John the message. Jesus is the root and the offspring of David. David is the ideal king in the Old Testament until he falls into sin. Jesus is David's father, David's root, and David's son, David's offspring. In other words, Jesus existed before David was born. Jesus existed before Jesus was born. Or rather, the Son of God existed before he took human form and was born as a descendant of David. The point is, he's eternal. He's the bright morning star, verse 16. This is the one prophesied by Balaam in Numbers 24:17, a ruler coming out of Israel. Jesus fulfills this. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is God. Understand who Jesus is. And finally, receive God's salvation. If you want to be safe when Jesus comes again, receive God's salvation. Look at verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. These are images of heaven. Now you can only go there if you're washed. And you can't wash yourself. Only Jesus can wash you. Not with soap, but with blood. His own blood. Ask Jesus to forgive you and wash you, clean you up, clean your mind, clean your heart, based on what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has died to take our punishment. Therefore, you can be forgiven. Look at verse 17. Next slide. Come, drink the water of life. Receive forgiveness, new life, a fresh start. Come, receive it. Jesus offers it to you tonight. Complete forgiveness for whatever you've ever done wrong. Being right with him. Being safe for the day when he returns. Verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Grace. That's what he offers you. Grace means God blessing us even though we don't deserve it. Perhaps you feel you just don't deserve to be right with God. Grace means God blessing us even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, do we? We don't deserve it one little bit. I don't deserve it. But he offers us grace. We can know Jesus. We can be forgiven. We can go to heaven. We can know a purpose in living. We can be ready for the day when Christ returns. Well, tonight, God offers all of this to you. Let's pray. Father, we're very aware that Jesus is coming back to earth, not as a baby, not as a victim on the cross, but as king and judge. And we know that we need to be ready for that day. So, Father, I pray for all of us here tonight that we would be right with you, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to say sorry for the things we've done wrong and to receive the forgiveness, the fresh start, which Jesus died to pay for. Bring us into this relationship with you, Lord, I pray, so that we can look forward to the return of Christ and of being with him and being like him. So, Lord, help us in these things, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.